I call the House Education Committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, and the time is 9:16 a.m. A little bit of a late start. Apologies. Members present are Representative Elam, Representative Schwanke, Co-Chair Story, and myself, Co-Chair Himshute. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your cell phones. We're in the Betty Davis Committee Room 106 in the State Capitol Building in Juneau, Alaska. The documents for today's meeting have been distributed to members and are available on the table outside the door. Did I mention I'm here too, Co-Chair Himshute? I might have skipped that part. Apologies. I'd like to thank our recording secretary, Kale Brown. Thanks for being here, Kale. And our moderator from the Juneau LIO, Chloe Miller, and our committee aides, Tammy Smith and Ella Lubin. We are joined at 9:17 by Representative Eichheit. Our agenda today includes three presentations regarding career and technical education. We will hear from representatives from the Department of Education and Early Development, Zach Stenson of Pathfinder Solutions, and representatives from the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Members have copies of these slide decks. I would like to welcome our first presenters, Deputy Director Kelly Manning and Brad Billings from the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. Please come forward, introduce yourself for the record, and begin your presentation. And we're going to try to get through these efficiently, but without skipping anything really important. So let's aim for about 10 minutes on each presentation. That'll bring us right down to the wire. We have a hard stop at 9:58. Okay. Are we ready? Excellent. Okay, welcome. Please put yourselves on record and begin your presentation. We're glad you're here.
Good morning. For the record, I am Kelly Manning, Deputy Director for the Division of Innovation and Education Excellence.
And I am Brad Billings. I'm the Administrator for Career and Technical Education at the Department of Education and Early Development.
Please begin. Sorry.
So just a mission, vision, purpose of the Department of Education. We're providing information, resources, and leadership to support districts as they provide an excellent education for every student every day. And then our education challenge that guides the priorities of the Department of Education. And then I want to give a shout out to number two. We got our own initiative there, increase career, technical, and culturally relevant education to meet student and workforce needs. So I just want to talk through the funds that are available to school districts and then talk about some data that indicates school district participation in career and technical education programs and providing career and technical education programs, and then look at some solutions, some of the programs that are being implemented to respond to need and how they're doing it as school districts. So first of all, federal Carl Perkins funds is $5.9 million that we receive from the U.S. Department of Education, now U.S. Department of Labor. And those funds are distributed to school district. 85% go through as grants according to – it's a formula grant that they're awarded. Right now, about 45 – I think it's exactly 45 of our 53 districts choose to take those funds. We do have a minimum award of $20,000, and more than half of our districts are eligible only for that minimum award. So that's $20,000 that they're getting to provide career and technical education programming. So that's the first tranche of funds that districts have access to. The second is our student, the state student funding formula has a factor for vocational education included in it that's 1.5%. And that equates to just a little bit more than $18 million. And that money is embedded in the student funding formula. So that goes right to districts. And then another tranche of money that we've had for the last 3 months through the budget is funding for state career and technical initiatives. It's varied between $800,000, I think the first year it may have been $1.5 million, and we've used those funds to pay for the career guide pilot project. We've used it to pay for coding in Minecraft. We've used it to support our CTSOs, our CTE student organizations, as they've recovered from COVID and how that affected their attendance. So then, of course, school districts are using other monies that they have through the funding formula. So, for example, if you think of Anchorage School District and what they're providing in their King Career Tech High School, their Perkins allocation would not even pay for that high school that Anchorage is providing. So the district is choosing to prioritize that and kick in some of the discretionary money that they have as well. I'll give an example of the Kusilvaca Career Academy. The director there just indicated recently to me that Carl Perkins' federal funding only pays for 4% of his budget. So the other 96% is coming from other sources. And then, of course, state and federal grants that a school district is going out and getting directly. And then, obviously, connections to our workforce development partners, the Department of Labor, the different TVET-funded organizations around the state, and then industry partnerships, so local connections to employers who are funding career CTE programs. Oh, let's go back one.
To jump ahead there.
It wants to go. It's not going to stick there, is it? Okay, let me just talk to that slide then. So that we can't see.
Slide five.
Slide five.
Can you see if slide five? I can't get it up.
It's allergic to them. It won't go back.
It won't
keeps jumping forward.
Yeah, so it pops up and then it just goes.
Yeah, that must not be important. Maybe we
should maybe it's animated and
Coding is off.
Perfect. There we go. Okay. So just to speak then, so that phrase there, all Perkins courses are CTE, but as we mentioned, there's a lot of CTE that just isn't tracked or part of Perkins. And so we track 849 CTE courses that are delivered by school districts, by 44 of our school districts. Those courses last year had 12,000 participants, and so those are students who are taking at least one course, and then 3,000 concentrators, and those are students that are taking at least two credits of CTE courses. They're considered a concentrator. These are Perkins definitions, and this is the data that we track. Some of the other non-Perkins CTE, we are anecdotally aware of it, but we don't track it formally.
Mr. Billings, just for your awareness, we have about five more minutes.
Okay, yeah.
Apologies.
So the program of study is the thing that we deliver, that school districts deliver to students, stackable courses, linked to standards. We emphasize dual credit or post-secondary credentials, and then work-based learning as part of that. So it's not just the standalone woodshop class that I took in the seventh grade. This just gives an indication of trends for the last five, 6 years of participants and then concentrators.
And for the committee's awareness, we'll take questions at the end.
Okay. And then this data is student organizations. So Alaska has six student organizations. I just want you to note there are 23 of our 53 districts that are participating with at least one of our student organizations. You can see the larger districts, they're able to participate in five, four of the CTSOs, and then down at the bottom of the list, some of our smaller districts maybe participate in one with a couple students, a handful of students. So this, we had a conference 2 weeks ago. Participants were campus representatives of the University of Alaska system, and then about 30 of our school districts were present. And they identified these three areas as needs. So the first is recruitment and retention of high-quality CTE instructors. And then we had horizontal alignment, which is among district cooperation, just to cooperate on the use of resources. And then vertically, we have alignment in the system with other partners, the post-secondary partners, Department of Labor, the University of Alaska system, employers, et cetera. So that horizontal alignment, this is a solution that we're working on in Alaska, and that a unique program is this idea of a short-term residency program that is basically gathering usually students to a hub, and then they're concentrating on a CTE course, you know, over the course of a week, anywhere from a week up to a quarter or a semester. So this is a unique Alaskan innovation that we're doubling down on. And then we have a number of models that are multi-district partnerships that you can see there, and you're aware of most of those, just different ways that districts are working together. So this is the idea of horizontal collaboration among school districts. The other type of connections collaboration is the vertical, and that is where a school district is aligning and partnering with the university campus to focus on dual credit. Working with the Department of Labor through the TVEP institutions, or AVTEC has been a great partner for high school students. Work-based learning with local employers, and then tribal organization and native corporations that are doing a lot of this work, connecting with them locally. So that's the vertical alignment that we're doing. So again, the idea that the students experience the CTEPs. They experience that program of study. And then we're thinking about what do those students have when they leave us? What are the connections, the resources that get them a head start as they leave our K-12 education system? And that's where we're focused on the career guidance. The career guides is connecting them to those post-secondary opportunities.
Well, okay, speed presentation. Thank you so much.
That
we have
fast,
about
sorry.
2 minutes for questions. Rep. Dibert had a question.
Thank you. Good morning. Through the chair to Mr. Billings, thank you for your presentation. I just wanted to ask do you know if any of the funding supports Lego robotics? It's very important it's an expensive program. And I know when I was a teacher, students learn a lot through Lego robotics and even Legos when you build 3D items. And also, do you track girls in STEM and CTE careers? Also, as an educator, I found and I learned that young girls and young women don't see themselves in these careers at about fourth grade. I just want to get it out there on the record that it's very important to start these careers and these discoveries even in elementary. Thank you.
Representative Dibert, through the chair. Yes, so a school district is choosing to use their funds for Lego robotics, other clubs, et cetera, for those programming. Usually Lego robotics isn't funded through Perkins funds. And then to your second question, Perkins does have what's called an NTO, a non-traditional occupations grants, and those are to fund programs where a certain gender is underrepresented. So, for example, men in nursing, usually women in the construction trades. We have special grants that are focused on recruiting and including individuals in those programs.
Moving as quickly as we can, Representative Schwanke, one question.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. Simple question. I want to ask this of all of our state commissioners, directors that come in front of us on a program like this. How is DEED tracking the outcomes, the results of offering all of
Mr.
these
Billings?
Particular courses?
Yeah, Representative Schwanke. So we have indicators that we report on through Perkins reporting, and so that's post-secondary outcomes. We talk about connections through performance on assessments of Perkins participants. And then also, I think it was House Bill 157 that was passed last year with Department of Labor is tracking now graduates moving forward, that graduating class every 5 years, giving an update of where they are, what the
using publicly been. Available data.
Correct.
Okay.
If we could get a copy of that report, be great.
Sure.
The Perkins report.
Perkins report?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sure we can get that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Representative Story, quick question.
Yeah, thank you. I was hoping that the department at some point could show us where the deserts are in CTE. I know Wrangell. I mean, are there other partnerships? Can we see in Southeast and the various regions who's got programs that they can go to, the variable term, so boarding school, but just, you know, you've highlighted some of the programs in here, and I'd love to see if we can highlight some deserts, and then what is the department doing to encourage development of more CTE there, since we know it helps keeps kids in school? And then also, how do we partner with industries? What industries are involved? Thank you.
And the CTSO slide showed 23 districts, so what's happening in the other 30?
Yeah.
So, okay. Quick question from Representative Elam, and then we'll move to the next presentation.
Thank you. I appreciate the presentation. I guess the questions that I had was really kind of tied to some of the stuff everybody asked about, and that is the ties to not only the trades outcomes, but then also it seems like it, in my experience, has brought students more engagement within their belonging within school. And so if there's any kind of data or anything along those lines, and then if that also tracks with any kind of additional academic outcomes.
Okay, so I don't think that was a...
It wasn't so much a question,
okay, great.
But maybe later a follow-up.
Wonderful. Thank you, Deputy Director Manning, Mr. Billings, for being here. You have great information to share with us. Apologies that it's so quick. Mm-hmm. We're going to move to our next presentation.
Great. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And Mr. Stenson, Zach Stenson of Pathfinder Solutions, if you could come forward, introduce yourself for the record, and begin your presentation. We'll have about 10 minutes. Apologies for the speed.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Do you want me to just begin?
Yeah, have at it.
Okay.
Good morning. We need your name on record, though.
Thank you. So I'm Zach Stenson. Really wanted to express my gratitude for the invitation to speak to you all today. I'm going to keep my speech short, and actually I realized I just left my little timer on my chair there, but I'm sure you guys will keep me on schedule.
7 minutes from right now.
Okay. I want to speak to two things that I just wanted to highlight. One, I wanted to give an update on the Career Guide Initiative, and also I wanted to share out some exciting recent developments in CTE, specifically in rural Alaska. Before that, I just wanted to speak to some recent research data points that came from the Department of Labor Research and Statistics team, a really amazing team that we have in Alaska right now, highlighting two challenges, and they are specifically around why I wanted to talk about both of these initiatives. The first one, just decline in... Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. The first one is the decline in our working age population since 2013. The second one is the increasing number of non-resident workers in Alaska, totaling this staggering number of $3.8 billion in wages that are being paid to out-of-state employees. Second group of statistics I wanted to share, these are coming from the Association of Alaska School Boards. First one, in a recent study that they did, showing that 89% of high school seniors have stated they would really like to have more education after high school, and also that Alaska has one of the highest numbers of disconnected youth in the nation, currently right around 15%, and that is youth 16 to 25. that are not either employed or going to some kind of post-secondary training. And so I just wanted to highlight both of those numbers just to show that there are an incredible amount of opportunities, as you all are aware of, in the state for jobs and employment for our youth. And we at the same time are having a really high number of youth that are having a hard time finding their place in this economy, in this workforce. So I'm not going to say that I have the solution to that, but I am going to say that I have a solution to that, and I'll speak to that here. One other statistic I didn't include is Alaska having the lowest FAFSA completion rate in the nation per capita, leaving millions of dollars of federal funds, federal grant funds for students, for scholarships that are not utilized. I wanted to speak a little bit to some of the barriers for why I wanted to speak to these two initiatives. So that would be perception, system alignment, and access. Perception being this idea that high skill, high wage trades careers are kind of a backup plan. This perception that just the alignment, this disconnect that we have between schools, school schedules, and employers, and just some of the access that you all are aware of, the geographic isolation, job sites, training costs. So the solution, one of a solution that I want to speak to is this initiative that's happening right now, and this is the Rooted Career Guide Initiative. So in that initiative, it's a partnership between the Department of Labor, the Department of Ed, the Bristol Bay Region Career and Technical Education, the Alaska Heritage Institute, which are here as well today, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation, and the Rooted Alliance. And really the goal of the program is simply helping our youth find their strengths, find opportunities, and connect with those opportunities. So the program really tracks six key performance indicators. Those six indicators being one-on-one meetings, career awareness activities, FAFSA completion, financial plan, building a financial plan, building a post-secondary plan, and completing an application. Career guides are given monthly professional development across the state that are participating in this pilot, and they follow up a monthly calendar to just ensure that the seniors that they work with are as ready as they can. And this is really, the goal of this really is to take those steps to help those high school seniors through a really structured system be ready to engage in the incredible opportunities we have in Alaska. I got it. Thank you. I just kind of went through those KPIs, and I'm going quick, as quick as I can here. I will also speak really briefly. The pilot currently is participating. I won't list all of the districts. There are, eight districts currently participating. We are looking at a significant increase of districts that are interested in joining the pilot for this next year. And you have a list of those districts in your handout, I believe. And the last piece that I will share very briefly is just in the Bristol Bay model, in Bristol Bay Career Technical Education Program, those career guides that are meeting with every single senior across the region also have access to intensive 40-hour trainings. And so blending those two together is creating some incredible opportunities for students to build an idea of what they're good at, build certifications, and then have real true career guidance. And so I just wanted to voice that there are some recently developing consortiums following the model that's been developed by Bristol Bay, one in Southeast Alaska here, one in the interior. And so I just wanted to highlight that when a region comes together to lift up their youth, it's incredible all of the partnerships that can happen and all the strength that can happen in training. And so I apologize that my comments are very short, but I'm happy for any further discussion about the work that's happening, and appreciate all the partnerships and collaboration that's going into both the Career Guidance Initiative from the partners that are here today and that is going into the development of these career consortiums. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you for moving through that so quickly. Are there questions from the committee? I had one quick question. What is the funding source for Rooted?
Great question. I guess the easiest way to explain this would be there's dedicated funding that goes to the coordination, the statewide coordination, and that funding is coming through the Department of Education. This is a Department of Education supported program, but for an organization to have their career guide, there's some funding coming from the Department of Labor to hire and fund career guides, and then there's some funding that's coming directly from school districts or tribal entities that are supporting school districts in this. Currently, the districts that are looking at joining the consortium are kind of looking at different options of how to actually have a career guide. But the goal of the program right now is we build a really strong program with partnership with the Department of Education and Department of Labor, and then schools or partnering organizations will support the people.
Can you tell me the origin of this? Is this something that school districts cooked up, or was this an idea out of the department, or was it labor? Like, who said, hey, let's try this?
So the origins came kind of from multiple places at the same time. About 3 years ago, when I was the director of the Bristol Bay program, we had a year where we had a number of seniors that we felt like were all ready to succeed and dive in. And then a number of them had hurdles. And when we talked to those students and found out what was going on, a lot of those hurdles could have been we could have overcome if we had just had a little better system to actually support those students. And so at the same time, the Department of Education was looking at different ways that they could support this work. And so there were conversations between BBRCTE and the Department of Education, and also Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and the Department of Labor. There was just a combining of different interests. Why Rooted was chosen was collectively, we looked at a lot of different programs, and Rooted seemed like the... Well, two things, I guess. The simplest, so that it was scalable and it could work across a lot of different organizations and different sizes of school districts. But also, it was the only program that we found that had a really robust structure to kind of like make sure that this was happening. There was a lot of programs that existed that were, you know, you gave guidance to students and you kind of sent them on their way, but there, we had a hard time finding a program that actually double-checked. Well, did you actually get that FAFSA completed? Well, do you need help actually filling out your application? And did you turn in an application? And so it's really the structure to the program. And Rooted is a national program that's relatively new, and I believe it's in 5 states now, and they provided that structure. So the one other piece I'll mention is Rooted also is a philanthropic organization that that the Department of Education and the Department of Labor is partnering with to receive this program.
And I'm going to ask one last very quick question, and then we'll have to transition to our next presentation. There is an intersection between what we traditionally call CTE and cultural arts, and that intersection, I think, is happening here. Can you say any more about that?
Yes. So I feel like I can speak, I can answer that a small amount. I don't feel like I can give the full answer that maybe you deserve for that question, but the small answer that I will give is that in Bristol Bay, in developing our classes and programs, we felt like there was incredible strength to cultural arts, both as a historical way of making a living and also as a current way of making a living through our cultural arts and entrepreneurship program. And so we blended that very strongly within our program. Also here in Southeast Alaska, there is some strong movement in that as well, both with Generation Southeast and with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute that we're excited to learn from and work alongside as well.
And there is a much longer answer, I'm sure, to that as well, but that was a great sort of beginning, and this is, I think, really exciting work. So sorry to rush, but we're going to go ahead and move on. So thank you, Zach Stenson, for that presentation, and we're going to move to our next and final presenter, Director Paloma Harbor. Please come forward, Ms. Harbor, and put your name on the record and begin your presentation. We're so glad you're here. I'm sorry that we're rushing a little bit today. It does not reflect the value we place on what you're doing.
Thank you. For the record, Paloma Harbor, Director for the Division of Employment and Training Services with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. Thank you, Chairs Himshute and Story and Committee, for this opportunity to present to you today on connecting workforce development and public education. I will keep my presentation, I'll go quickly through it as well, but I just want to chime in on a couple different things that came up prior to my coming up. We just had a wonderful opportunity to tour Sea Alaska Heritage Institute yesterday and see their arts program, and it was really impressive. They talked about the fact that they have dual credit with the high school to get credit for the classes they have within the high school, the CTE classes, and then a pipeline to the University of Alaska Southeast so that they can also get college credit for those courses. And then they also have a partnership with the, I'm going to misstate the name of it, Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, so that the students can go through the whole pipeline and end with a Master's of Arts. And it was just an impressive opportunity, and I would recommend a tour if you get a chance. So, and then the other one was on the impacts of performance, specifically at the secondary level, of some of these programs. And I don't have it with me, but we have seen the success, and I'll go to that side. We have the technical and vocational education. Technical and vocational education program within our department that we administer the grants for. And we've seen specifically since the start of this program, I know Northwestern Alaska Career and Technical Education had some wonderful statistics on graduation rates in Nome and the rural communities around after they started their TVEP program. And so it does help students stay engaged and get to graduation. So, all right. Those were impromptu comments, but I'll go quickly again. Since I started in this role with the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, the commissioner has repeatedly emphasized the need to engage with youth and assist them in their post-high school planning. Because as we mentioned, Association of School Board has some data on the disconnected youth, and it's a significant problem in Alaska. And I mean, having my own experience with children, they don't always know. Sometimes there's too many options, or sometimes they feel like they don't have any options, right? Just again, yesterday talking with Generation Southeast, they had eight students recently in an introduction to construction class, and they said there's no jobs, and they're from Klawak or the surrounding areas. And Chaz Edwardson there was able to bring an employer from Sitka who did interviews there right after the program and hired all of them, or seven of them, which is impressive. But a lot of times either we're fighting the there's no opportunities in my area, or we're fighting the I have no idea what I want to do when I grow up. And so that's where we can partner with education. We have labor market information, so we can show where the job opportunities are. And we can work with employers and school districts to provide career exposure. Our commissioner likes to tell the story about the fact that nobody in her family had ever worked in healthcare before. Her son was able to go to a career expo and see the healthcare field and decided he wanted to be a physical therapist. Just opening the eyes of youth to opportunities they may not have seen through their own family or experience. We also have youth job fairs and, as I mentioned, career expos. We work with local partners. I know our career guide in Fairbanks is working with the Army and the Riverboat Discovery to do some specific opportunities for the Galena youth. And then in Kodiak, we just recently implemented a career club with the Kodiak Economic Development Council and the local high school. And so they're taking turns hosting the students monthly. And we do go into the classrooms and provide resume workshops and mock interviews in preparation for the job fairs and career expos so that they can come with prepared resumes. So those are some examples. I will just say that I kept this presentation short and to more of the things that I am over, which are the job centers and our activities, the Alaska Vocational Technical Center in Seward, AVTEC. Obviously does a fair amount with the schools, and then also our Division of Vocational Rehabilitation does pre-employment transition services to disabled youth throughout the state in partnership with school districts, and they could certainly speak more about their activities, but I didn't cover that in my presentation. So I already spoke a little bit about the Technical and Vocational Education Program. This program does go to named recipients. It was just recently increased significantly, $10 million more in funding to this program. And new partners were added, Southeast Alaska Heritage Institute, Prince of Wales Community Learning Center, which is operated by Generation Southeast. And I think, well, Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center was specifically broken out, and UAS was specifically broken out. But this is the funding that goes out. And what's wonderful about this program is the regional training centers know. They have those connections with the local school districts. They have those connections with the local partners, employers, to know what the demands are. And they can do really innovative programs. So I mentioned earlier NACTEC, Northwestern Alaska Career and Technical Education, saw significant improvement in graduation rates after they started receiving TVEP. And one of the programs I really love that we were able to see when we went to Nome was that they work with Alaska Resource Education, and they bring students in from the rural communities. NACTEC serves students from the rural communities. And they go to Graphite One, and they have a one-week intensive where they get to see what goes into working at a mine like Graphite One, or what are the geology type occupations they could have. It's a really neat opportunity to just open again the eyes of local youth to local jobs. So,
Ms. Harbor, we have about 4 more minutes for your presentation. I apologize.
No, that's great. What I will say about the TVET program is I would strongly recommend, if you have the opportunity in the future, to hear from these regional training centers directly on the great work that they're doing. So the department has worked with the Department of Education, the Department of Labor has worked with the Department of Education and the Alaska Workforce Alliance on Alaska's Workforce Future Plan. We do have Lunch and Learn on this plan scheduled for noon today. So you're welcome to attend and hear more about it. This was built out of really engaging with employers about what do they need, right? What do they need? And what we heard a lot was the fact that we need to retain Alaskans and raise career awareness for those Alaskans to help meet the demand for a skilled worker force. So we have, I'll just skip through some of these. Our primary fund source, another state training program we have, is the State Training and Employment Program, and we're working to utilize that program on implementing some of these goals within the Alaska's Workforce Future Plan. Sorry. But there's only so much money, and it only goes so far, as all things I'm sure you hear. So we worked with the governor to introduce House Bill 267, Employer Contributions, which would take the State Training and Employment Program funding from $11 million currently, which we run out of and can't fully meet the demand for grants. And it'll increase it to $55 million, which would significantly expand our opportunities for more of this good work. So I think I'll skip that slide. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, that was super fast. It just occurs to me I might not have welcomed Rep. Dibert back to the table after our break that we had. I think that was around 9:20, so apologies if I didn't do that. Do we have questions for Ms. Harbor? Representative Eichscheid?
Thank you, Co-Chair. Through the Co-Chair, Ms. Harbor, thank you for your presentation. I was looking here, and one of your slides said more collaboration. So I know many unions are interested in or do training of their employees or their members. Does the department collaborate much with unions, meeting their joint interest between the state to build workforce and unions trying to deliver the members to do that work?
Through the chair. Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Representative Eichscheid, absolutely. So I didn't, again, I ran through things pretty quickly, but some of the highlights all the way back here, when it comes to career exposure, we certainly, one, we highlight registered apprenticeships as we speak to youth as an opportunity. That was recently done, a whole presentation on that to the Kenai High School from our Kenai Job Center staff on registered apprenticeship opportunities. But also, I'm going to lose my train of thought.
I think the question was about union
partnership. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Happens to me all the time. Wait about 10 years or longer until you're my age. It happens even more often.
Thank you. So what we do is we support apprentices as they're going to related technical instruction through the State Training and Employment Program primarily. That's this program I mentioned. So some of the money goes to the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, and they give competitive grants, and union and non-union organizations can apply for those grants, and they do have 30-some-odd grantees. There's a whole list online. Some of them are union trusts to help expand opportunities. And then through the Job Center Network, which, again, is what I oversee, we give grants to individuals. So especially in the first 2 years in an apprenticeship program, it can be difficult for an individual to go however long they need to from working for related technical instruction. So they're not earning wages while they're doing that. And so we can help cover costs, supportive services costs for them while they're in that related technical instruction. So we can cover childcare, housing if they need it, equipment. A lot of times it's their work boots or things to go to work. We can cover that with this program funding.
Okay. Co-Chair Story?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the presentation through the chair. It was very good. I'm wondering if on page 3 we could have a list of the participants. I know we have that somewhere in our statistics because I've seen them before when it's been in another finance sheet. And how do you decide? I know that the TVAP is a formula, but in your other programs, how do you decide who gets what? Thank you, Harbor.
Through the chair, co-chair story. The State Training Employment Program is a competitively awarded grant program, as I mentioned. So the Workforce Investment Board, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, does a request for grant applications, usually right around this time frame, March time frame. And then they work through, so that request for grant application has priority industries that they're looking to do or certain areas of focus. And then they collect those applications. As I mentioned, they received $11 million in applications and only $7 million in funding available to grant out. So it was a very difficult review process. But they look at performance, they look at demand, right? Those information, the labor market information to evaluate the proposals.
Quick follow-up?
Very quick follow-up.
Through the chair, it would be wonderful to have a list of who was the recipients
yes.
of those. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And we'll get that to the committee. Okay, I apologize for how quickly we had to go today. I really appreciate everyone's ability to get through the material quickly, and I think we could have an entire day of conversation. But there is the opportunity today at lunch. There's an Alaska Workforce Plan Lunch and Learn at noon today, talking also about career guides. And that's all I know about that, but you guys know where to find a lunch and learn. Okay, so that concludes our meeting for today. Our next meeting is this Friday, February 27th, 2026. The House Finance Subcommittee for the Department of Education and Early Development will begin at 8 a.m. and has been scheduled for most of our allotted time. And this meeting will be focused on national board certification for teachers and the state of education funding in Alaska, among other topics. If time allows, we will gavel in for the House Education Standing Committee to hear bills previously heard. As a reminder, the committee's email address is house.education@akleg.gov. Public testimony on anything covered here or in any bills can be sent there. Seeing no further business before the committee, the meeting is adjourned at 9:58 a.m.